Hello, welcome back to Becoming dot dot dot. If you're new here, I'm your host Nicole, and we talk about navigating through life's ups and downs and everything that life throws at you so that no one feels alone, because sometimes life can feel really lonely, especially because we're always scrolling on social media and seeing people's highlight reels, right? Like every time I'm on social media, you always see everyone so happy and loving life and traveling and all these great things about their life. So when you are going through something that might not be the happiest, you can feel really alone because you don't see anyone else going through similar things that you are. So this podcast is here to be your comfort, to kind of help make sure that we're doing this together, that we're navigating through life together. So today I wanted to talk about something that might kind of go to a part two. I'm not sure yet, so we'll see how we do on timing today. But I want to talk about going from being lost to being found. And that's a heavy topic, and there's a lot that we have to unpack with being lost and going to become being found. What I mean by that. Okay, so when I was a young girl, I used to pray to God, and I used to say to God, God, I love you so much, but I feel like there's people who need you more than I need you, Lord. They need you more than me, so it's okay. Like, you can go to them. You can be with them. I have it covered over here. Like, I can handle it. I'm okay. And although my intention was pure, like, my intentions were pure. I felt like my life was okay. I was struggling a little bit, but there was more people out in the world that were struggling more than me, so I felt like they needed more of God. So my intentions were pure, but what I was really telling God was, I'm going to shut you out of my life because I think I can handle it on my own. And that wasn't obviously my intention, but that's underlining message that I was giving to God. And what I realized is that you don't become a new person overnight. You take one step after one step after one step, and then you find out you might be going in the completely wrong direction. But it doesn't happen overnight. That happens over a course of time, over so many different decisions that you've made, that you turn around and you're like, oh my gosh, how did I get here? And that's exactly what happened to me. And I mainly attribute that to the fact that I lost touch with God. And because I lost touch with God and I thought that I had a handle over my own life, that I started making decisions that weren't in my best interest because I got so far away from God and I was walking in the wrong direction. I literally have notes here. If you're watching this, I have notes in front of me, just so I don't get off topic, because there's a lot I do really want to talk about. I mean, this conversation is heavy, especially the second part of this conversation is very, very heavy. So just be prepared, because there is a lot that we're going to talk about. But first, I don't know how long you've been following me, if you're new, if you've been with me for years, or if you followed me less than a year ago. But if you've been following me for more than a year, you will know, or you know, that I used to bartend at a gentleman's lounge. And that might be very surprising for a lot of you, because it's something that nowadays, or in the last few months, that I've tried really hard to cover up and to hide. But I feel God telling me to share my testimony. So that's the only reason why I'm putting it back in the light here. It's a little uncomfortable and a little scary for me to share this, but I feel God calling me to do it. So I'm listening to God. But I used to bartend at a strip club, gentleman's lounge, whatever you want to call it. Basically, the girls are dancing on stage in bikinis is basically however you want to call that, is a gentleman's lounge, a strip club, whatever it may be. I used to bartend there. And it's funny how I got there, because when I first got the opportunity, well, when I was first shown that opportunity to work there, I was really hesitant, because at the time I was a little more reserved. I didn't want to show off my body or anything like that. I was a little insecure about my body. I was a lot skinnier at the time, but I had just been cheated on and I was just getting out of a relationship of like 5-6 years. So my life was drastically changing at that point. And I was also on that flip side trying to start a business. I wanted to start a selfie museum, like a photography studio. So if you heard episode one, you'll hear that I was talking about this and I talked about I went back to bartending to fund this store because also at the time I was broke. I didn't know where I was going to get money from. So when this was presented to me, it was tempting. It was tempting. I can't lie. The money was tempting. The fact that I was in a 6-year relationship and was cheated on and I never really went out or did anything like that during those 6 years, like it was tempting to kind of be independent, have this independence, start bartending again and feel good about myself. So all these things are really tempting. And I remember when I was offered the position, the girl who told me about it was telling me how much she made, like a night. And she told me a good night, you make like about $1,000 a night. And at this point, I'm like, whoa, do you know how fast my business could progress with $1,000 a night? That's insane. But I wasn't sure. I didn't want to post about it. That wasn't something that I felt comfortable with. I didn't want to wear like skimpy outfits or like small little outfits. I wasn't okay with that. But one thing led to another. I took one step, and that money was really tempting and I did need the money at the time. So I took the position and I started working there. And it's just, it's funny how I'm explaining the beginning of the story and knowing in my head, and I'm sure some of you know where I ended up with this story. So hearing this is probably laughable to you. But that's how I started off. And I didn't tell anyone that I worked there. I even lied to my parents about it and I told them I worked at a different, completely separate bar. I just wasn't comfortable with it at first. And after working there a little bit, I started getting a little more comfortable, started meeting a couple more people, started having a couple more friends, and I finally told my parents. And although they didn't really like the idea, they still, you know, I'm an adult, I was an adult. So they didn't say much about it and they let me make my own decisions, obviously. So because now my parents knew about it, I was even more comfortable to talk about it and I was making all this money and I felt good about myself and, you know, I made sure that I was looking my best so that I could feel my best and I was making all this money. So then again, one step after another step, and I became engulfed into this lifestyle because the money, again, was tempting. The money was so like appealing at the time that you just want to make more and more and more and more. You want to work the better shifts. You want to have more customers. You want to make sure that you're selling more so that you can make more of a tip. All of these things. But it also comes with a price. I mean, in order to have those customers, in order to sell more, you also have to be drinking more. You have to drink with your customers. You want somebody to buy a bottle, you got to drink out of that bottle. You're going home wasted some nights. And it's just, it's almost like Alice in Wonderland. Like you fall into this hole and you enter this completely different world. I mean, working in an atmosphere like that is so different. I don't even know how to really explain it to you, but it's different. You see people's priorities are different. The way people act, how money-hungry people are, it's different than you see in your day-to-day normal life. The type of men that you do see in these establishments, very different. And you lose trust in men, for one, because of the type of stuff that you see there is just very toxic, not healthy. So not on top of the fact that you're losing trust in men, you're drinking a lot, you're in this party lifestyle, You're making all this money. You want to look the hottest. Your life becomes very, very, very vain. And that's what happened to me. And my life became something that I didn't even recognize anymore. I didn't recognize myself anymore. I was making all the wrong decisions and I was prioritizing all of the wrong things. The type of people that I allowed to be in my life was wrong. The decisions I was making were wrong. They were bad. And I couldn't see it because I had these rose-colored glasses on in the signs of dollars. And you lose yourself. You completely lose yourself. And I really feel like it's because I got so far from God, I didn't recognize myself anymore. And I was making all of these decisions that I thought were going to make me better, that I thought were going to make me happier. And I felt more and more and more drained and tired and alone. And I feel like my life was so vapid. I remember once I started getting more comfortable, started wearing the outfits, started having my hair done all the time, my lashes, my makeup, my nails were literally so long. My nails were so long, but I got them done all the time and my toes were always done and I was always making sure my body looked right. I even went to the point to get a BBL. And then when that wasn't enough, I got shots done to my hips to make my hips bigger, to make me more round because I wanted to look the part. I got lip filler, chin filler, whatever I could possibly think of I was doing because I wanted to look like this put together girl. I wanted to make more money, so I'm spending more money on myself. I have a personal trainer. I'm doing all these things. And although I thought I was confident or I was getting my confidence, I felt sexy, I felt cute, all these things, I was actually really insecure. And I didn't really realize it at the time. I started posting on social media that I was bartending at the strip club in the hopes of, actually, I don't even know what my hope was there. I posted one video, it got big numbers, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do this more often because now I think I want to become an influencer. Now I'm going to be some influencer, but for all the wrong reasons. And again, I was so vain about it, like so obsessed with my makeup and my clothes and get ready with me for my life at the strip club. Let's count all this money that I made and let's do this and let's do that. And let's go to this really fancy event and let's go to that really fancy event. It's almost like I was bragging. And I was doing whatever I possibly could to get more followers, more comments, more likes, more money, because it was all about the money almost. Like, and after a while of that, you get lost. I told you that I did this in order to fund a store. And I funded it, but it failed. And then when that failed, I had nothing next. What do I do now? I'm just this bartender at a strip club. What do I do now? Oh, I'm going to be an influencer. I'm going to make a bunch of money from bartending, from influencing. Then eventually I'll start a new business. I'll do something new. But for now, this is what I wanted. I idolized becoming an influencer. And if you know anything about Christianity, you do not idolize anything but God. I idolized becoming an influencer so much so when I saw my likes decrease or when certain videos weren't doing good, I would have a panic attack. Like, who did I become? I went from this reserved girl from before I started working there, this girl who kind of had like, you know, I had a good head on my shoulders at the time and I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do with my life, but I had a pretty good idea, to this girl who is now engulfed in the industry, so lost, and my only aspiration was to become an influencer. Maybe go on another reality TV show. That might work for some people, but it didn't end up working for me. And being in that lost state, I felt trapped. You feel trapped. You get trapped because you're making so much money. There's nowhere else you can go. This is like the little voice in your head. Where are you going to go? You're never going to make that much money anywhere else. You have to do this. You have to wear the outfits. You have to flirt a little bit. You have to dance a little bit behind the bar. You have to do all these things if you want to sustain the lifestyle you've just built for yourself. You have a beautiful apartment. You have an animal. You have all these bills. You have a nice car. All these things. You want to afford your lifestyle, Nicole? You got to stay right here. And that's what the enemy was whispering in my ear, saying to me over and over and over again that I was too scared to leave, too scared to go anywhere else. That kind of all fell apart for me. And this is my testimony on how I found God. This is going to get real emotional. This is going to get very deep, excuse me. And if you are triggered easily, I suggest you just skip the rest of this episode and you go to the next one. People ask me all the time, or at least the people who have seen my progression on my social media, is that I went from bartending at a strip club to now I volunteer in church and I do all these things. I do high school ministry and I have a podcast and I speak to people and I pray for people, and my life has completely changed. So people ask, like, how did you get from point A to point B? How did you do that? And I actually have a video on social media where I told people that the reason I found God is because I lost my dad, and that was the worst point of my whole entire life. And through that pain, I found God. That's what I tell people. Because it's easier for people to assume that my dad is dead rather than tell them the truth. Because the truth is something that I didn't feel comfortable enough to share for a long time. I didn't know if I was ever going to share this. But again, I feel God calling me to. I feel like sharing my testimony. Maybe there's other people who can relate. And maybe this will change your minds. And maybe this might make you feel, I don't know, but God is telling me to do it, so I'm doing it. Okay. The truth is, on October 18th, 2023, I found half-naked photos of myself on my dad's computer. And to me, that's the day that my dad died. Because the version of him that I really loved, trusted, died. And that day was the worst day of my life. It was the worst day of my life. I found those and went into my car and cried. I thought I was going to get into a car accident driving home because of how many tears were in my eyes. I got to my house. I opened the door and I just fell to my knees and I cried on the floor. I felt so weak. I felt so betrayed. How can someone that I loved so much hurt me that badly? I My roommate and my sister had to pick me up off the floor, not even knowing what was going on. They picked me up from the floor because I couldn't move, and I was screaming and I was crying, and they brought me to my bed. And I cried for weeks straight. I wanted to literally fall asleep and never wake up. I felt dirty. I felt insecure. I felt disgusting. I was disgusted with my body. I was confused. But seeing those photos confirmed a fear that I've had for a really long time. And I knew that I couldn't do this alone, that I couldn't heal myself alone. So every night I prayed to God and I said, God, please just hold my hand. Please be here with me. Because I feel so alone. No one understands. No one gets it. No one knows this feeling. I need you, God. I need you by my side. I need to feel you because I can't do this. And I can't explain it to you. God transformed my whole life. God met me in my darkness, and he saved my life. I felt God's presence when I prayed. And although I was going through the worst thing imaginable, I felt God holding my hand and telling me, it's okay. This isn't the end of your story. You will prosper. You will be okay. I will walk you through the fire, and you will be on the other side so much better than where you started. Just trust me. And I did. Sorry, I'm trying so hard not to cry. A month and a day after that happened, I decided to get baptized because I felt so heavily God's presence lifting me out of this darkness that I wanted to thank him, and that was my way of thanking him. One of my ways to thank him was to be baptized. I started going to church every single Sunday because I could not do this alone. And one of the first sermons that I heard when I went to church after all of this was going on, the pastor said, your earthly parents might hurt you, they might disappoint you, but your heavenly Father will never leave your side. And I lost it. I lost it sitting there. I went up at the end of the service and I prayed with the prayer team that they have there. I joined a small group to talk to other Christians. I knew I needed community. I knew I needed help. I knew I needed to talk to people. I went to a therapist. And that was all because of God. God saved my life. And all I wanted to do was thank him. I started volunteering at church. Anything I could possibly do to volunteer, I volunteered. I changed my whole life around. I got rid of any sin that I had from my past. I got rid of people that didn't help or weren't from God. I got rid of. And it hurt, but I got rid of them. Because all I wanted to do was glorify God. And anything that I did in the past, like anything that was worldly that I idolized, I got rid of. Now, I tried for a while to kind of like post on social media because I still kind of wanted to be an influencer, but I wanted to influence to women. Like I started switching my content, like a month or two before this had happened, to doing my hair and, you know, just hair and makeup and stopping so much of the bartending content. So at this time, I kind of tried to put some stuff out there, but it felt real fake. It felt fake because I didn't feel happy within. So to make a little video of me doing my hair, it felt fake. It felt phony. I just couldn't do it. So I gave up social media for a while, and it felt great. Because everything that I cared about in the past, those social media, the likes, the comments, I didn't care at all about them anymore. I cared about volunteering at church, going to therapy, getting better, learning about myself, relearning how to love myself again, how to trust people again. I stopped going to work a lot. I called out a lot because I felt very triggered going there. The stuff people say, man, it's gross. The stuff you see there is gross. I just couldn't be there. So I called out a lot. I took off a lot and I wanted to leave, but I was so scared. I was so scared to leave because again, that there was a voice in the back of my head that was telling me, Nicole, how are you going to afford anything if you leave this job? What are you going to do? You have nothing going for you right now. And I was just going to start going to pilot school, to flight school. How was I going to afford that if I left? But one day, I don't know if this revelation kind of came like while I was at church or what it was, but God spoke to me. There's no basically. God spoke to me. And God told me to trust him. And I said to myself, right now, I'm trusting the money in my hand. I'm not trusting my God. What is that showing God? I'm showing God that I don't really trust God. I trust the money that's in front of me. That I'm telling God that you're not all that, God. It's this in front of me. That's good. If I trusted the money, it means I didn't trust God. It means that I didn't believe that God is great. God is good. God can do anything. If God can save me, he can do anything. And God told me to leave. God told me to trust him, and he told me to leave the strip club. Leave it all behind. It's not doing you any good, Nicole. You need to leave. I fought on that a little bit, but I decided I was leaving. And I left. And that was the hardest thing to do. It is hard to trust God. It is not easy at all. No one ever said it was going to be. But trusting God, the minute you trust God, he said, okay, you trust me? Great. I can do all these things for you now. Just show me a little bit of trust, a little bit of faith, and I will open so many doors for you. I left that job, a job that I was making $1,000, $800, $500 a night, and I went to a job where I barely made $200 a night. I remember one night, I made $180 bartending an 8-hour shift at a different regular restaurant. And my friend had called me and asked me to pick her up from my old job. She still works there. So I went to go pick her up. I went to go pick her up and the bartenders are talking. And this is a day that I would have normally worked there. But this is months later after I quit. And the bartenders are talking about how much money they made. And one of the bartenders goes, I made $800. I literally felt like a dagger had just went through my chest. And I felt so tempted to go back. I felt tempted to go back, but I promised God I wouldn't. But it was like the enemy was telling me, Nicole, where are you going to make this type of money? You want to go to flight school? You have all these goals again? Well, they are expensive, aren't they? You should come back. You should come back here. But I had that promise in the back of my head, and now I've been going to church. I've been learning about God more. I've been in the Word, in my Bible. I've been learning about Jesus and studying Him and really trying to understand. And I said, no, I'm not going back there because I made a promise to my God. And my God is great. And I know my God can do anything because He took me out of my circumstance. He saved my life when I didn't want to live anymore. And He brought me from my darkness to my light and gave me a purpose for my life. And I could never go back on that. And I didn't. And you know what's crazy? The next day I went to work. And you know, someone just handed me $100. Just $100 to get my nails done. They were like, here you go. A coworker, by the way, a coworker gave me $100. They were like, here you go. And then I walk, I'm about to leave with a couple of my friends, my coworkers, and I see something on the floor a little further. And I'm like, let me go look what that is. It's another $100 bill. And I promise this is not a joke. Because my friends saw it and they were like, what the heck? How did you find that? How did someone lose that, drop that out of their pocket? $100? And I sat in my car and I was like, okay, God, I hear you. I hear you. You just basically told me, I know you're worried about the money, Nicole. I know you're worried about your worldly things. But don't worry, because I will always have your back. Even through the dark times of your life, even through the storms, I will be with you. And that was God reassuring that. I went from being so lost, so empty inside, to being so crushed that I could have either turned even further away from God or ran toward God. And I ran toward God. And because I ran toward God during my darkest time of my life, that I would never wish on anyone, I found a purpose for my life. God gave me purpose. The only reason I have this podcast is because God told me to share my testimony, to talk to people. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to share this. This is extremely personal to me, and it's very deep. And it's my pain, and it's my trauma, and I have a lot of that. I have a lot of pain, and I have a lot of trauma that I don't speak about, and I've never really spoke about. But God told me that it was time to start talking about it. And now, because of God, I'm here talking to you. And I hope that makes you even feel closer to God. I hope my testimony makes you feel closer to God. He's changed my life. He took me out of the world and brought me to Him. I feel a sense of peace, even though it's only been a year since everything has happened. I'm still hurting, I'm still healing, but I know I have my God. And that makes me feel a sense of peace. And I want everyone to feel this peace that I feel. Because now I've spoke publicly. I was a motivational speaker at an event. I'm going to pilot school. I'm working toward becoming an astronaut. I've changed my whole social media to glorify God. And you know, when I did that, I lost 20,000 followers. I lost 20,000 followers. And do you think I care? Not at all. Not at all. And to look at my life and how it's changed in a year just shows me how much I know that God is here. I trusted God. And he's opened up so many amazing doors for me. Even the people he's brought into my life, just because I took a leap of faith. The ways I've been able to help people, you guys reach out to me all the time and ask me how I've gotten closer to God. And I'll send you podcasts and music I've listened to and shows that I've watched and stuff I do for reading my Bible. And I pray for you. I pray with you on social media. And the things that you guys say to me are answered prayers. They're answered prayers. And I'm still on this walk. I'm still on this journey. I'm not like this completely transformed person. I'm imperfect. I will always be imperfect. I will always make mistakes. But man, has my life changed. I went from lost to being found. And I hope, my hope for you listening to this is that no matter where you are in life, if you're where I was and you're lost, my hope is that you seek God, because God is our creator. God created us. And for some reason, we think we know better than God. So we try to build ourselves on our own. And that's almost like building something without an instruction manual. Are you going to know how to build it? You're probably going to build it wrong. It's probably going to break. It's probably going to have some cracks in it. God made us. He has our instruction manual. He knows all the ways that we are beautifully made and created and crafted. Let him build you. Don't trust yourself. We know nothing. I know nothing. I prayed before I spoke in this podcast. I prayed several times. For a week, I prayed for this episode, that I would have strength to say it, that God would give me the right words to say, that the people that needed to hear this listen to it. I can't do this podcast alone. I can't do my life alone. I need God. I really love you guys. Enough that I'm sharing the darkest parts of my life with you, so that I hope it helps change your life. Seek God in your dark places. Welcome God in your sorrow, in your pain. And I promise you, he'll be there for you. He'll change it. He'll change your circumstance. It might not be in the way that you think it's going to be. It might not be in the way you thought it was going to look. It might not be when you want it to happen. But God is listening to you. He's always there for you. Your life can change just like my life changed. And my life is still changing. One day when I'm an astronaut, and I'm going to space, and I see Earth from space, I'm going to be praising God right up there and say, wow, look where I came from. Some 27-year-old girl who was speaking on a podcast to this woman who is changing lives. I don't know. But this is what this podcast is all about, becoming new versions of yourself and going through life's ups and downs. And I've been through some ups and downs. I'll tell you that. I have went past my time. I thought this was actually going to be a two-part episode, but I really felt God's strength in this episode. And I rehearsed it once, kind of half of it, before I even spoke it. And I cried like a baby. And then I tried to rein it in. And I'm glad I did, because I feel like I had to share this with you guys. I love you guys so much. And I'm so grateful that you're here listening to me, even if it's just one of you listening to this. I hope it's changed your mind and made you feel a little more in tune with God. Yeah. All right, guys. I'm like 10 minutes over time. So thank you so much for coming to the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for following. Thank you for showing any type of support, any way, shape, or form. You don't understand how much it means to me. And I'm just happy I can be here with you, to commune with you, to talk to you. So thank you. I will see you guys. Not next Wednesday, but the Wednesday after, because we do this every other Wednesday. Please, 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 please let me know how you feel about the episodes. I want to know your feedback, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever it is. I want to know so I could make this podcast better and better, better for you. Because this is for you. This is all for you. And I'm just so grateful and so blessed that I get the opportunity to do this for you. So I love you guys so much, and I will see you next Wednesday. Well, you know what I mean. Bye, guys.